The question today, are there different degrees of being lost? This is the second part of this question. And as I said yesterday, there's not different degrees listed in the Bible. Lost is lost. When a man reaches the knowledge of accountability, which is where he comes to the place that God has showed him that he has knowledge of good and evil, which is not just right and wrong, but good and evil, then he's out from under the protective canopy of being safe. He's under the wrath of God, but he's lost. He's separated from God, and he may not even know that, and many times do not know the exact point. But yet he's still lost, and he will go to hell. So it's not a degree of lostness, but there are categories of being lost. We talked yesterday about the out-and-out sinner who has no fear of God. He's hardened his heart. He's well on his way to being a reprobate. If he's not already there, he's running at breakneck speed to that. He doesn't respect God nor his church, and that's the one there's many of out in this world, many. There be that go into hell, the Bible speaks about. But yet, we find then the second category that I'd started to deal with yesterday is the one we will call the seeker, and that would be the genuine seeker, because I know the Bible said in Romans 3 that no man seeks after God. That's the natural man. But when God has awakened you and brought you in the narrow way that leads to the straight gate, then you're so blessed, and he wants you to seek the Lord and striving to enter in. Now, the characteristics of that, we looked in Isaiah 50, verse number 10, where he said, I'm writing to one of a few, and using that as an application verse, but one of the few. In other words, one of many, in other words, because verse 11 talks about the many. So the genuine seeker seems to be few in number. And I said that's what he basically said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, when he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So therefore, there's just a few of the many in the world that find the narrow way that leads to life, which is at the straight gate. And he also said, Luke 13, 24, strive to enter in the straight gate, for many are going to seek and not be able to enter. They wasn't willing to pay the price. The only reason they sought was they've been awakened. They've turned from the broad way to the narrow way. But they're the one of the few. They're the one of the genuine seekers. Now, what's the characteristic of the genuine seeker? Verse number 10 of Isaiah 50 said, he feareth God. ETH words means a continuous action, habitual lifestyle. That means he respects and reverence God because godly sorrow has worked in his heart. Deep cause grief over his sin of unbelief that leads to the judgment of God and his separation from God as he begins to experience that in the degree. Now, God don't save you to keep you out of hell. You must have the rest of that work of Holy Ghost conviction finished, and that is the righteousness of God must be revealed to you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the righteousness of God, and he's hidden in the bosom of the Father, and it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal him to you so you can call upon him as your Lord. And so as a result, that's the genuine seeker. He feareth God. That's the who is among you that feareth God. He's in that category of the lost whom the Lord came to seek and to save. He also obeys the voice of his servant. Verse number 10 says in Isaiah 50, that means, and by the way, it's an E-A-T-H verb on that. There's continuous action about that. But as we looked yesterday, we talked about what is the voice of his servant. It's not the mere voice of the Christ in the Scripture. Because our gospel came not in word only. We had the Scripture, but it came in power and the Holy Ghost. Unless the Holy Ghost sharpens that word, reaches down in your heart, there's not going to be any reality of the voice of the Lord to you. You see, the Bible, unless it's clothed with the Holy Spirit, in other words, unless he gives a voice to the voiceless letters of the Bible and takes that truth out of the Bible and rivets it in your heart, then the Bible is no more to you than any other book. So what does he speak? We said yesterday he speaks promises, and threatenings, and warnings. Promises keeps you out of the ditch of despair. Warnings and threatenings keeps you out of the ditch of presumption. Presumption means venturing without positive permission. You see, his promises keep you, and also his threatening and his warning. Now, the third characteristic of the true seeker we didn't deal with yesterday is verse number 10. where he says there that he that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Now that's again an ETH verb, which means continuous action lifestyle. And yet that almost sounds contradictive to what I preach as far as the light that God gives every man. This man that's a genuine seeker says he walks in that darkness and hath no light. Well, what does that mean? We've got to find out what it means. Now, we know that our gospel is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded their minds of them, lest the light shine down in their gospel and they be saved, is what it's referring to there. And so, therefore, that's the little g, by the way. That's the devil, who's the prince of the power of the air. But yet, when God comes to you, awakens you, that means the light of the gospel has come to you in some form or some capacity. But because of your preconceived ideas about what salvation is, because of your tradition being captured by tradition, Colossians 2:8 said, then what happens is you're not saved as quick as maybe you thought you should have been, or like they've told you that you could be, and as a result you've got darkness of feeling. You've got this word light here is talking about in other words it's inward experience of what you're going through with. It's a frustration that one experiences when all things are not coming together as quickly as they thought, or like their preconceived ideal was about salvation. And when it says they have no light, that means the word light there is also translated in the Old Testament other times as brightness or shining. In other words, it means they have no brightness, no shining. In other words, things are not together like they want it to be. There's some frustration, like I use as an example. Abraham had frustration when he was out walking all the way. He was walking what light he had. He had an intellectual faith that caused him to leave the Ur of Chaldees. Hebrews says he had faith, but yet he wasn't saved for 41 years later. So he didn't have saving faith, so therefore we have to conclude he had an intellectual faith that led to a seeking faith that brought him after 41 years to a saving faith. And he was frustrated during that time, even up to the point of salvation, until the Lord's voice spoke to him and he heard and believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness in Genesis 15:6. And so as a result, that's where the genuine seeker is. He's in that frustration. But there's hope, you see. God don't want you to stay in that condition. He don't want you. I'm not preaching a long time. And of course, there's definitely not degrees of lostness, but this category of the genuine seeker, the true seeker, he's lost, he's separated from God, but the Lord don't want you to stay in that condition, and neither do you have to. For he gives encouragement to the seeker in verse number 10 when he said there, and let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. In other words, if you're walking in light, you've been awakened. I'm talking about if you're walking in the gospel light, you've been awakened. And yet there's frustration. You don't have the brightness that you need, but you're obeying and doing as much as you know to. It's equivalent to what the Lord said in John chapter number 8, verse number 31, 32, where he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you're doing that, he said, let that person, that genuine seeker, that category of the lost, if you please, come to the place that he trusts upon in the name of the Lord. Now, trust is equivalent to saving faith in the New Testament, and really the good meaning of this word trust is to roll up on. And of course, trusting in the name of the Lord is trusting totally in all he is, all of his characteristics and all of his attributes and all that he is, all he's revealed to you. Whatever you make an issue, you'll have to deal with, but a lot of things you'll not even know about until after you're saved, and God will reveal you more about that. But whatever you make an issue, he'll deal with. So you trust in the name of the Lord. And by the way, when God gives you an exhortation to do something, I know that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2 and 3, that we're controlled before we're saved by the lust of the flesh and the devil, the world, and we're controlled by that, dominated by that, and can't really make right choices and decisions. But I won't tell you, when God speaks to your heart, when his voice comes to you, whatever it is, whether it's a promise, whether it's warnings or threatenings, or whether it's encouragement, if you please, whatever he exhorts you to do, he gives you the ability to do that, to obey that light, to walk in that light. And then he said, you stay upon the Lord. roll up on the Lord Jesus Christ and stay on the Lord. Now, I know stay means a thing or a person used to strengthen, to steady, or support something, but you stay up on his God, meaning up on the servant's God. It's not up on man's God. It's talking about the Lord Jesus who came to die on Calvary that you might have life. And so therefore, he obeyed the Lord and he says you can too because he enables you to do that. So what he wants you to do is to trust. And obey, as the songwriter said, but it trust and to stay on the Lord. Roll up on the Lord and stay there, and he'll bring you through the straight gate. That's the genuine seeker. That's the class we're talking about here that's mentioned. Now, the third class or third category of the lost, I said there's a sinner, the out-and-out sinner, who don't want God, don't want anything to do. He's lost, he's separated from God, and will die and go to hell. But he also said that in verse number 10 of Isaiah 50, he spoke about, is there one among you, a category of the seekers, which seems to be few, and few there be that find the narrow way, and few of the few even enter in. Luke 13:24 brings out. But the third category is in verse number 11, when he said of Isaiah 50, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Now you notice that mode of address here is implies that these are very frequent. And there's many in number. Another, all ye. One of you in verse number 10 is the seekers, but the category of the lost, of the seduced, I'll call them, implies that these are very frequent, many in number. Now the word seduced, it means to be deceived, to be beguiled, to entice, be enticed, and caught. And in other words, now he says, behold, as he mentions that in verse 11, and we're using this as an application. I know in context he's talking to Israel and their relationship to God, but hey, we're the one that there's an application for us. It's profitable for doctrine. So he said to us, behold, that word introduces something that's weighty and important. You need to take note of. And he's talking to those that's many in number. And I'll call this the category of the lost that's the seduced. And he says they kindle a fire. That's their conduct. That's the conduct of the lost. Now, you know this word, they kindle a fire, that implies they're making a profession without having a possession. You notice they do it. Folks, it's salvation is of the Lord and not man. They kindle a false fire and say that it came down from heaven. And so as a result, it's man-made. That's false religion. That's those that's been deceived into thinking their religion is going to make it. They're whatever they believe salvation is of. I'll deal more with this tomorrow as we continue up on this third category of the lost as we're talking about this. May the Lord help us to see. You need to be a seeker and be saved. Because if you're seduced, you're liable to wind up in hell. This is the Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.